extraterrestrials, UFOs, visitations, military abductions, join Joe Mataldo on Wednesday night, 8 to 10 p.m. for his episodes of UFO Undercover.
You are invited to the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show every Friday night on United Public Radio Network from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time, 12 to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, with your spiritual warrior goddess, Kathy Bilski. Kathy will share all the old truths the Illuminati tries to keep secret. Kathy also gives you the opportunity to join in with planetary healing light work that will help us manifest World Enlightenment 2016. So let's get high and fly into new possibilities. So join Kathy every Friday night on UPRN, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show. A very powerful happening.
Come check out Christina George's new show, Paranormal Connections, only on United Public Radio, Monday, 8 to 10 p.m. See you Monday.
The UPRN family of shows would like to take a moment to thank our loyal listeners for tuning in to UPRNTalkRadio.com along with 107.7 FM New Orleans. Broadcasting on multiple platforms like Live 365, Ustream, and Shoutcast has made the UPRN the longest-running, highly rated, and best source of quality, unique programming that is not afraid of the status quo in alternative media. This station has a solid course of shows and hosts that refuse to get stuck in a rut or be overrun by a groupthink mentality, because station owner, host, and iCar founder Joe Mataldo knows the value of letting his talented stable of hosts grow uninhibited. In this genre,
the silver supply
that's
deficit
an accomplishment
is about to
which
explode.
Many in alternative
a real
radio
annual
are striving
physical
for
deficit
but are left consistently wanting. This is all made possible because of you, the listener, that tunes in live every night, who can tell the difference that independent thinking makes. The best way to show our appreciation is to thank you and continue to allow our listeners the ability to download the archives of all the shows free of charge on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud. No monthly fees, no cost to download individual shows, and none of the constant hassling for donations. That's the UPRNradio.com difference. So stick around, there's much more to come with new shows on the way. For now, feel free to join your favorite show live in the Pal Talk chat room, easily accessible off UPRNTalkRadio.com, and share the experience of listening live with other listeners from around the world. So thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the UPRNTalkRadio.com family of listeners.
Hello, you're listening to United Public Radio. I'm Joe Mataldo, host of News on the Flip Side. Check us out every Saturday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time.
right, live September 24th, 2016. Michael Angley live, United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.7 New Orleans, saying hello. What is going on out there? Oh, man. It's a bummer having to look at a headline every hour on the hour. There's a story about how crooked Hillary is, and then there's a story about how people are being tortured, you know, in our country, United States of America, and around the world. There is so much division, so much anger, so much stirred up hate that I'm surprised that a lot of people out there can even function. So I'm going to start with bombs going off in New Jersey and New York City. You know, last week we had another guy, a Muslim male, going crazy on the attack. Ahmad Ron Rahimi. So apparently the guy hated America, would go on rants all the time online and social media. I hate America. I hate this. I hate that. Whatever. Hates gays. He hates homosexuals. Wants to kill homosexuals. Hates homosexuals. Whatever, you know. And then he worked for his family's chicken franchise, fried chicken, first American fried chicken, right? Which is interesting. Family's from Afghanistan. The business itself had went head to head with the police several times because they'd be open until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning where they were told not to and whatever. And then a lot of drugs were being passed around outside, sold, a lot of kids hanging out there till 4 or 5 a.m. People urinating in the streets, urinating in people's driveways. So it became a huge issue. They didn't care about the rules. They didn't care about, you know, first American, you know what? There's something about just respecting other people in that neighborhood. If you're a business owner, you definitely want to respect the neighbors. You know, it's one thing if they hate you because of the color of your skin, which is what these guys allege, that they're Muslims and their religion and, you know, they're hated. And you know what? It's become like this religious card that people play, saying, oh, you offend me and whatever, and you have to placate my religion, but I don't care about yours. And, you know, if you don't like me, you know, if you have an issue with me, it's because of that, nothing else, you know. So, obviously, the police, they went back and forth. The business sued the New Jersey, you know, the city there, got nothing for it. It was dismissed with prejudice, which means the judge does not want to see your face again. You can't bring that lawsuit. They kept claiming discrimination when really it was these guys breaking the law. So what I don't get is if you break the law and the police come after you, don't be surprised. Don't be offended. They're there because of that. We pay police to go after people who break the law. No matter if you're Muslim or white or black or Latino or whatever, man. You know what? You could be a freaking Oompa Loompa. If you're out there in the street breaking the law, you can expect the police officer to show up and settle your hash, you know? So having said that, let's move on with this nice young man, this nice young Muslim man from New Jersey, right, who went they said he got radicalized, and I don't even believe in radicalization anymore. I don't believe in the whole term. You know, in fact, I don't like it. Because to me, these are people who follow a specific set of rules as per their religion. It's not like you had to influence them to go beyond anything or add to it. All of these things that they partake in is all part of the Quran. You know, so if you read the Quran, you'll understand it's a very, very specific process of eliminating other people who don't believe in what you believe in. It's not a live and let live religion by any means. It is called a conquering religion. Everybody agrees, even Obama agrees. The Pope agrees, if you care what he says, you know, a conquering religion. So here we are. This guy makes bombs and then blows one up in New York City in a dumpster. He blows another one up, I guess, in New Jersey. Or a couple of them didn't go off, basically. So he had four bombs, right? So here's a dude who wants to hurt people, wants to hurt innocent people. He had taken it upon himself to reach out, to go learn how to make a bomb, set the bomb. And then I'm watching CNN, right? I'm flipping around, looking at the CNN, what they had to say. There's a panel on there. And in the panel are people who are like, oh, this poor kid, the bomber, he didn't want to hurt anybody, and he didn't want to do this, and he definitely didn't want to get hurt. They ended up capturing him because he was in a gunfight with police. You know, they shot him, and then they took him in. So, and I don't get about CNN. CNN, whose side are you on? Anyway, number one, the media is not even supposed to be on a side. If you are a news channel, you're supposed to read the damn news. And this is what happened. Doesn't matter what you think is poor kid. Poor kid. Tell that to the 27 people that got injured from the dumpster bomb, who had to go to the hospital that night, who had to endure being attacked by a random act of terror from another Muslim. And we the people in America are being told that Muslims are good, loving, hardworking people. Yeah, sure. You will have Muslims who are good, loving, hardworking people. But if you read that religion, you read into it, you see what it's all about, you're going to understand something about that religion. These guys look at themselves as soldiers, and they're going to go out and hurt innocent people. That's dangerous. That's more dangerous than any other thing. It's more dangerous than street crimes and gangs and whatever. You know what? Because this is an ideology. This isn't a business transaction. This isn't an anger even type of thing. A lot of them are very cold and calculating when they do these things. And now we've seen all these attacks. Go online and look up how many the last 50 terrorist attacks, who's responsible, you know? So people are going to throw Timothy McVeigh at you, you know, the Oklahoma bomber, and that type of thing. Yeah. And what happened to that dude? He went nuts, didn't he? And took it upon part of a militia. They sold him on this thing. He was a big part of the militia, so maybe he sold people on issues. Trained by the military, you know, was a tank commander, and then killed all those innocent people, children, men, women, children. Senseless act of terrorism, right? But he did it not for a religion. He didn't do it for some kind of weird ideology. He did it because he was angry at the American government, specifically the DEA, with a whole bunch of nonsense. So I'll tell you something about people who are crazy. And I know crazy people. I've met them. I've dealt with them. I know them. You will never make them happy. Number one, if you're dealing in business or whatever, you're dealing with someone crazy. That's just that. And number two, you'll never make them uncrazy. Does that make sense? And they don't really need a reason to get crazier, but they'll fixate on certain things. So religion's a hard sell. Because people, if you can read the Bible and read it into anything, but then take it upon yourself to want to go out there and hurt people. But in this Christian religion, in the Bible, and in in Judaism, it's God who avenges people. It's God who is up. It's not saying you go out there and cut that person's head off or burn them alive, you know, so there's a harsh and stark difference between these things. So here's another dude wanting to kill and hurt innocent people, another homegrown terrorist, you know, went overseas and hung out with certain people. Yeah, you know, a lot of these people are weak-minded. That's why they're so deeply into the religion in the first place. They need that, and they're weak-minded people. Is that a harsh statement? I don't care if it is. You know, I'm not here to make people feel better about their religion. I'm here to say what the deal is. You know, these people don't think for themselves. They want someone to think, not even a book to think for them. They want a preacher, an in-between, you know. But if they read the book, in the book of Genesis, It says, put no one before me. That's the first thing it says. In the Ten Commandments, they wasted no time on that. Put no one before me. You know, the Old Testament is the Jewish Bible. So a lot of people see eye to eye on these things, you know. And if you want to get technical, all of these religions came from Abraham. So at some point, people polluted it and took it their own way for whatever reason they had. Power and control, mainly. And then here they are, want to blow stuff up, kill people, innocent people, walking down the street, homosexuals. You're going to blow up a homosexual because they're gay. Kill a homosexual, you know? And we want this mentality in this country. Why? Because all of these refugees coming in share the same ideas. Their religion says it. They share. They want to kill homosexuals, man. They want to kill anybody who doesn't follow Sharia law. They want to kill anybody who is against their religion. That's the problem. And it may sound like I hate this religion or whatever. You know what? It's not like hating a person or people. You're hating an ideology. You're hating something that people have taken and turned into something deadly, and deadly so it poisons societies, deadly so it poisons people's minds, poisons their bodies, you know, and it's a control that gets in the way of people evolving and going forward and being going towards the future. So here we have people blowing up bombs, all right? First American fried chicken. I heard the term fried chicken so much I wanted to get some fried chicken, man. You know? I hate that. Then you get Mayor de Blasio. I don't like to get into name calling, but that guy's an idiot. He really is. He really is. I knew he was an idiot when he ate pizza with a knife and fork. Nobody does that. That's you know what? That's the biggest sin in the Italian world, bigger than anything. You know? Eating pizza with a knife and fork. That's some female stuff. You don't even know any women that eat pizza with a knife and fork. I wouldn't want to hang out with someone that did that. You know? Unless it was a real sloppy mess and they didn't want to get any on their clothes or whatever. Yeah, I'm down with that. But if you're a guy, you grab that slice of pizza and you eat it, man. If you call it a piece of pizza, you get slapped. You go into a pizza parlor in Brooklyn, say, I want two pieces of pizza. They will reach over that counter and slap you. You ask for a knife and fork, they can be like, what the hell is a knife and fork? It's a pizza parlor. This ain't no breakfast nook. So that's de Blasio. De Blasio goes on and says, if that's not enough reason not to, that's not enough of a reason not to like him. He said that it wasn't terrorism. He was quick to jump on it. It wasn't terrorism. Well, turned out it was. They just don't want to scare people. Or how about just keep people aware? Okay, yeah, there's an active terrorist on the loose. Keep your eyes out. Instead of saying, no, it's not terrorism. It was a gas bomb or a gas explosion or whatever you want to call it. Something different. Some other explosion that hurt 27 people. And if this guy knew 10% more on how to make a bomb, he would have killed people, you know, 10% more. That's the thing, that in all of this, it's kind of like a virus, you know. The more it's alive, the more it's out there, the more it learns from its surroundings, the more it mutates into something bigger and more powerful. That's the problem. Unless you stop it, it's going to keep progressing. It's going to keep growing. It's going to keep changing. And as it does, the technical abilities become better, stronger, faster, more powerful weapons, better strategy, knowing how to hurt people, knowing how to terrorize people, you know? So there are also people out there who are super intelligent, who, if ISIS or any of these people get a hold of them, and you have that super intelligence and you have that evil and you have all that money and you put those things together, nobody will be safe. And you can bomb them, you can do all that, you can, you know, I mean, this is my thing. I look at this differently. You drop bombs on people. The only thing you're really going to accomplish by dropping bombs on people, unless they're the right people, you have to understand that, the right people to drop bombs on. If you know that there's a leader of this or whatever, and you can take them out, that's a surgical removal of a target. That's totally different than dropping bombs on a town where anybody in hospitals and people and whatever are going to get destroyed. Nothing drives more support for these groups like ISIS than that. Now, when you hear Obama talk, nothing drives more support than ISIS than Donald Trump and the dumb things he says. You have to understand, these people, Obama, Trump, Hillary, they don't understand the enemy. And the enemy isn't those people. The enemy is the ideology that they hold on to. If you want to defeat them, you have to defeat them psychologically. And it's not hard to defeat simple-minded people psychologically. It's not hard to make them turn on each other. It's not hard to divide and conquer. So we, the American government, do not have the right people in place to take care of this. We could have had the same psychological campaign against Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. We didn't. We dropped bombs on them. It didn't do any good because Osama bin Laden was being harbored by somebody viewed as our ally, even though Pakistan is not our ally. You've got to be on drugs if you think that Pakistan is our ally. So there's a lot of people in the government in the know. There are analysts in the know. As a matter of fact, right now, they're suing. 50 of them came forward to CENTCOM, put a formal complaint in. 50 spies have come forward saying that Obama's lying. He's using the information the wrong way. They're adding things to the information that never happened and understating what the threat is. And ISIS isn't the last game in town, terrorist-wise. ISIS is a stepping stone. They are maturing. They're learning. They're changing. You know? And there are people coming in, bringing a new direction. When they're looking at using women now that they're using, children, child bombs we've seen in the past couple of weeks, female suicide squads in the past couple of weeks, all of this has to be understood by the intelligence and the people who run things, the people who run the show. If you're the president, you have to understand how to delegate authority. And it's not about carpet bombing. I've heard Republican candidates even say, I'll carpet bomb Ted Cruz. I'll carpet bomb. You really? You don't even understand the enemy. Carpet bomb? You don't even understand how it works. Oh, we'll launch a nuke over there and turn it into a glass parking lot. Really? In Vietnam, we had a strategy of winning their hearts and minds. It didn't work all that well, but it worked enough. It worked enough to solve some problems. So it's really the psychological warfare, you know, and going for your targets in a different way, right? You know, in martial arts, when someone's coming at you, you can block them and use your energy and maybe get hurt in the process, or you can just get out of the way and then help them get to where they're going. You get it around, then to block it and try to stop it. You know, to stop this type of thing, they're talking about genocide. You don't need to kill all the Muslim people. You don't need to kill all the people in that region. There's a lot of people in those regions who aren't Muslim. They're Christians. They're whatever. You know? The fact of the matter is, we need peace. You don't get peace by blowing up bombs in towns where women and children are being massacred. So what you get is more terrorists. When we, United States of America, blew up that wedding in Afghanistan, all those people, a whole family, over 30 people, a whole wedding, we dropped a bomb on them from a drone, a robot. We killed a whole family because of bad intelligence. Do you really think that that helps the situation? You know, and what was the outcome of that? So I see this stuff going on. It's sad beyond all kinds of description. You know what I mean? Then you have people blaming their religion, you know, using their religion as an excuse for all kinds of nonsense. I'm going to blow up bombs. I'm angry. Oh, my life. I'm a huge loser. I'm an alcoholic. My life is terrible. So I'm going to go kill innocent people, you know. By all means, kill yourself. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're, instead of killing other people and you don't want to go get help, then just get rid of yourself. Go drown yourself or something, you know, and leave people alone. Take yourself and your religion and go be whatever you want to be in some lake somewhere or the ocean, you know, or jump off a cliff as long as you don't going to hurt anybody. Does that sound harsh? I don't care. It actually comes down to doing the right thing and the golden rule. In my world of virtue, and this isn't like some Bible virtue, this is virtue that has to do with honor and courage and dignity and self-respect, you know, humility. Those things are the most important things to me. And that's how I operate my life. I won't stand for anything less. I don't let people abuse me. I don't let people put me down. I don't let people try to take their negativity and throw it at me. You know, I turn to a mirror. So, and I don't blame other people when I'm mad, if I'm angry at something. You know, I don't go out and blow up bombs. I don't get pissed off and blame it on my religion. Oh, Allah told me to go do this. It's Allah. It's Jesus. It's Buddha. Whatever, man. If you kill, you're a murderer. If you kill in the name of religion, you're a murderer. If you kill because you don't like chicken McNuggets, you're a murderer. You know? If you kill someone in self-defense, you're defending yourself. And they engaged you. So it's a different world. But when you reach out and you hurt innocent people, you reach out and you kill people, you're a murderer. And it doesn't matter why you do it. So that's how simple it is, right? And then Hillary Clinton. So a weird thing happened with CNN, the Clinton News Network, is that Hillary said it was a bombing, and then they edited the whole thing out, and then Trump said it was a bombing. Then Hillary criticized Trump on saying the word bombing, and then CNN criticized Trump on the word bombing, even though they edited what Hillary said out. So aren't you guys sick and tired of this kind of crap? When you're going to tune into something, and these people are shaping the media, shaping an election, using their power, the power that their power of audience, their power of, you know, and you yourself, you guys sitting out there, you're not on CNN. You can't go out there with your opinions. You're not Barbara Streisand even or any Hollywood star who's going to get out there with your opinions, because those stars and those people are liked for other things. Nobody says, oh, man, I love George Clooney because he's such a great political genius. No. They say, oh, I like him as an actor. He's great in this movie and that movie. And oh, Barbara Streisand, I love her voice, man. She's, you know, great music. She's like 75 years old. She has a number one album. She beat Britney Spears. Beat Britney Spears. Shows you where music's at these days. But good. Good for her. She's a great vocalist, great singer. But I don't care about her politics, you know? And if I was her fan, like Bruce Springsteen or something, I don't like him either, but he's out there against Trump. All I'm saying is that it's great to have your own personal opinion, but when you use your power that you've achieved by other things, especially through the means of art, to push this political point, what you're doing is wrong. It shouldn't be done. You should respect that art more than that, than to use people like that, you know, and try to sway their opinions. Even if you feel strongly about it, you're going out there as an artist. You're going out there as somebody who's known for something else. You're not going out there as a political pundit. But then they do. And then they sway some people. You know? And it's unfortunate. Because it takes away from them and their character. It hurts their virtue. When George Clooney and his wife had all these big parties for the Democratic National Committee and all that, raising money, $15 million from one party, like $20 million from another party, he had the nerve to say to the media, there's too much money in politics. We need to get the money out of politics. How are you going to say we need to get the money out of politics when you're the guy putting the money into politics? That type of stuff makes me nuts, man. It's hypocrisy on such a high level, you know? And they don't, well, you know what? They don't care. Because they live in fantasy land. They don't even know what a loaf of bread costs. They don't know what a gallon of milk costs. Their whole life is, you know, order stuff, have it delivered. They don't care. You think George Clooney's looking at his grocery bill? You think he's looking at his power bill? You think that he has to sit there and say, well, I only have X amount of dollars to spend every month because I work full time and I get paid crap, you know? No, he's going to be out there politicking, telling people that Hillary's better for this reason and that reason. How about let people make up their own mind? Obama's going to chastise people, white, angry Christians who hang on to their guns, who back Trump, Hillary calling Trump supporters deplorable. That's abuse, man. That's racist, white, angry Christians with guns. Really, Obama? What about Muslims with bombs and guns? How about this shooting in Seattle at the mall, right? Five people killed last night. It's to the point where, as I'm online and I'm doing my other work, stuff I actually do for a living, I see these headlines pop up. And I'm like, is this old? Oh, no, it happened 4 minutes ago. And you got to say to yourself, like, what is going on with people, man? So, anyway, shooting in a mall, Seattle, middle of nowhere. Washington State. I have a big audience around the world. If you guys don't know America, look at a map and look at Washington State. It's actually, Seattle is actually one of the most depressive places in America. Very depressing because they don't get a lot of sunshine, right? But, so in Seattle, you have this shooting. It's at a mall. Five people got shot. This gunman goes into Macy's where the makeup is. Whips out this gun, starts killing these women. I think mainly where young girls died and whatever. Anybody shopping for makeup. But they have a description that he looked like some kind of Hispanic male. The FBI erased in and said, well, we don't think it's terrorism. And I don't know about you guys, ever since this Hillary thing with the FBI, I have no faith in the FBI. I used to put them on top shelf because at one time they were a great agency. They even knew about the 9/11 attacks and when they were going to happen. So at what time, they were a great agency. But then now they're not. Now they're a political agency. So the FBI in Seattle, those agents, those local agents there, raced to the scene. In the FBI, when you score really high, when you take, you know, you go to their school, the academy, it's hard to get through, I understand. I looked into it at one time, so I know. And they take the top percentage of people. I didn't do it because I couldn't wear a suit every day, so I'd have to be undercover. I'm not that suit and tie kind of guy. I feel like a tie is a noose. So just in case you guys are wondering, like, why didn't you do it? That's why. But they take the top percentage of people, and they put those people in Los Angeles, New York City, Chicago, you know, Miami, all these places that have high crime and, you know, high levels of all kinds of crime, all right? white collar, whatever, all kinds of stuff. They take the lower score people and they put them in areas that, you know, buttfuck Idaho and places like that, like places out in the middle of nowhere, you know? So in Seattle, your FBI agents may not be top shelf. They may not be like New York or Washington or, you know, Washington, D.C. or L.A., but I'm sure they're good, good enough. But when they come out and they automatically make a statement, well, we don't think it's terrorism. Well, number one, as an investigator, I will ask you, Mr. F. FBI agent, what was his description? He head off down the road. So they don't know. Now, when I'm part of an investigation, if I don't have information, I can't make it up. I can assume, but it's not going to help me. And it's definitely not going to help the people involved. So I have to go by facts. And I load those facts in where I think they go. And sometimes they make a nice story. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they complete. Sometimes they're not. But I can't say, well, I don't think. At the end of the investigation, I can give you what I personally think, but that's after all the cards are down on a table. You know? In 5 minutes of a shooting, I can't tell you if it was terrorism or not. But what I can say, unless your definition of terrorism is specifically Muslims using guns and bombs against people here in the United States, or if your definition of terrorism is anybody and anybody who, let's say, walk into a church and shoot a bunch of black people because you're angry and you don't like them or whatever, that's a terrorist act. Terrorism is going into a mall shooting people. Terrorism is any of that, killing from hate and anger, you know? So maybe the FBI has a different version of terrorism than my version of terrorism. And I'd like them to share that with me if they could, you know, if they could. I'm curious. Because when you walk into a place and kill five people, I would say that's terrorism, you know, unless it's some kind of, even if it's a hate crime, it's terrorism. You're terrorizing. You're terrorizing people. Does it have to be from a religion or a type of government? Maybe it does. So that's all I'm saying, because that was my idea in the beginning of the show, talking about how Muslims are going out there and killing people and destroying people. So maybe we'll find out if this guy was or whatever. Nonetheless, there's a killer on the loose out there. They don't know who or what or what or who. No leads, no nothing. Locally here in Ithaca, New York, we have Cornell University, prestigious university, kind of the wall. Walmart of, and then two guys show up from Ithaca College, which is also here in Ithaca, obviously, who are black, who are part of the male Negro group at Ithaca College to promote male Negroes on campus, whatever. They all go to this thing, about 400 people, all black, part of these groups, these black fraternities and these black groups, which I think, you know what, to me, it's really racist to have any group that's all of one color. To me, I don't care what you are, I don't care what color you are, I don't care what your deal is. To have a group of all one color is racism. If it was a group of white people, which had happened for a long time, which was highly criticized, and a civil rights movement happened to try to get rid of all of that, restricted clubs and restricted groups and whatever, man. So let's start off by saying that. Okay, these guys are on campus, on Cornell campus. Cornell's trying to bury the story. Cornell's doing everything they can to get as far away from this thing that happened. So these guys are on campus, drinking, partying, having their little tete-a-tete, having their group, you know, talking about this, that, and the other thing, I'm sure. you know, people like to party and talk and hang out. And then for some weird reason, it all went terribly wrong. One person pissed off another person. One person started fighting with another. Stepped on that guy's foot, and that guy got shoved. So two guys get stabbed. All right. A melee breaks out. There's over 400 black men part of this whole thing. A melee breaks out. They're all fighting. Pours out from the campus into the streets of College Town, which is the street and the town, well, the area adjacent to Cornell University. Pours out. People are running for their lives because they see all of these black guys going crazy, yelling, screaming, smashing bottles, smashing garbage cans, fighting in the streets, grabbing people, beating them up. People are running for their lives, hiding, going into businesses and locking the doors, hiding. Keep in mind, the media didn't say any of this. They talked about the fight. They talked about that. So two guys get stabbed. Okay, one guy gets killed, both of them black. Okay? Now, here we are, long weeks later. They have no lead, no clue, no nothing. It's hard even to find the story online. Just look for stabbing at Cornell. The police, the Ithaca police and the Cornell police, which couldn't catch a cold, and I don't be mean or anything, but I'm saying that their abilities to investigate aren't any good that I've seen in the 21 years I've lived here. And I will be hypercritical. The state police do have abilities. The sheriff's department has limited abilities. But the local police, and then that's local police. You have to understand, when something like this happens, it gets kicked up to a higher level. If there's a standoff in a neighborhood, the local police will show up. Then you'll have the county police and the state police, and they take over. And the local police go out and pretty much get donuts for the other cops that are there working. You know what I mean? If it's really a serious situation, the FBI gets involved. Like with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, the ridiculousness going on. So this dude is dead. He is just a poor black guy from Brooklyn, a nice guy too, from what I understand, the shining star of his family. He was apparently protecting somebody else, and he got stabbed. You know, probably doing his bit to be a white knight, black knight with a knight. We use the term white knight, but let's just say knight in shining armor. Yeah, that is a racist term, isn't it? White knight. Knight in shining armor steps forward and then gets killed for his troubles. So there's a murderer at Cornell running around or in the area. And they're not doing anything, as far as I'm concerned, because when other stuff happens on campus to wealthy white people, they catch those people right away. If it's whatever. I mean, there's been stabbings there. There's been rapes and a lot of rape at Cornell. They find those people right away. Like a day, not even. Boom, they're there. In this case, so I don't know whether they don't want to find them, whether they just trying to bury it. They don't want the bad publicity. They have their PR department working hard to try to beat this down. And meanwhile, this poor guy who got killed is just some dude out of his life, you know, and his family has to suffer through that. But it's just interesting how no one's really talking about that, you know what I mean? And Cornell University, they have Cornell Plantations, which is their area of gardens. They have these beautiful gardens at Cornell, right? So they're calling it now, they're changing the name Plantation. The person who just came in to run the department a couple years ago doesn't like the word plantation. They said it's racist. They're changing the name Plantation from that to Cornell Botanical Gardens, right? But it's interesting to me, and I talked to you about this hypocrisy just before. It's interesting to me that you're going to have a university that has a black man that gets killed, not even from their damn college, killed on their property, and they don't have the wherewithal to do an investigation properly, but they're going to change the name of Plantation because it's racist. I just find a huge problem with that. A huge problem. And, you know, whenever anybody gets killed who's innocent, I feel bad for them. I don't care what color they are. It doesn't really matter, does it? It matters that, about this, the police shootings. I know it's on your minds out there. There's a lot of people touching base with me and what I think about the whole thing. You know, I'll give you some statistics. I'm going to start with that, right? This year, 2016, I'm in a time hole. 224 people have been killed, unarmed, killed by police. 224 people, okay? Out of that group, the top per million, the top group that gets killed ethnic-wise are Native Americans at 5.49%. Then come black people at 4.86%. Then come Hispanic at 2.3%. Then white at 1.9%. And then Asian or Pacific Islander at 0.72%. But it's white people who have been killed the most by unarmed white people by police in sheer numbers, right? So it's good that black people and people, white people, because I see these protests, I don't see just black people. I see everybody. And it's good to protest because you have to protest. It's your right to protest. It's your right to get out there and say what's on your mind. But it's not your right to hurt anyone. It's not your right to riot. It's not your right to steal. It's not your right to smash windows and go in and steal sneakers and run out laughing about it. That's crime. If you don't want the police to mistreat you, don't commit those crimes. Are there unarmed people that get killed? Yes, of course. White and black and everything. I just read you the statistics. But why? Why are black people freaked out? Because it would seem in their communities, especially now with the media, the way they drive this message and this hate, the media is totally driving the hate. It would seem that more black people are getting killed than anybody, but reality, it's not. And it doesn't really matter of what color you are. It matters that people are getting killed by unarmed people, by police officers, which needs to stop. And we need to find a solution for that. And that solves the problem across the board. But these police officers in these black neighborhoods that are high crime neighborhoods automatically have an opinion. And that's the hard part, is you can't change that opinion. Once they're used to being, I mean, you know what, and this is going to sound probably racist or whatever, it doesn't really matter because it's the truth, that in a lot of white neighborhoods, you don't have the same problems in black neighborhoods, you know? And no one's dying to get into Detroit. No one's trying to move into Compton or you know, the worst parts of America. America's got a lot of armpits. And those parts, those people can't live together without hurting each other, it seems like, right? Is that a racist thing to say? I'm not talking about a race. I'm just talking about people right now. So there's a part of this that needs to be drastically changed. And the part of that that makes people so angry or in desperate or in need or they have no hope, no future, depression, all of that needs to be. Be addressed. And hurting white people or killing white people because you're mad, what's that going to solve? Doesn't solve anything. Because I see these protests, there's more white people than black people at these protests. And that's how you get things to change. You know, when the slaves were freed, it wasn't black people that did that. It was white people and black people that did that. You know, more white people. So you can hate whites, you can hate people for this, that, and slavery and whatever. My people weren't even here, except the Native American part, and they got shafted to this day. So protesting good, riots bad. You're going to start hating on people? It turns out that 70% of the rioters weren't even from these areas. But I want to talk about Brad Pitt for a minute. the show's about to end. So Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie get divorced. Usually I could care less, really. I'm not a fan of either one of them. I don't watch their movies. I don't like Brad Pitt. I watched one movie with Brad Pitt, which was Z. I watched it because it was a zombie movie, and I'm into that type of stuff. And I'm like, Brad Pitt, a zombie movie? So he's either like really cool, or he just went into that role. Because he wanted to be in zombies. It was horrible. It was the only zombie movie I never watched twice. Put that way. At least twice, anyway. So, aside from that horrible movie that you should never go watch, unless you want to watch a horrible movie, man, then you can watch that. And you can watch End of Days with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was the end of his days at that point, I think. And then The Three Musketeers with Kiefer Sutherland and Charlie Sheen. Yeah, you want to watch some bad movies. That's Ang Lee's bad movie list for the day. So Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie get divorced. She makes up all kinds of stuff. And I know she's making it up because I know that this woman is off her rocker. I know that. There's account after account after account. It doesn't take a genius to realize that she's got some problems. She had problems, too, with depression, anorexia, and whatever. So Brad Pitt, whatever he married her, why ever, I don't know. He did. He took the plunge. He has, like, 7 kids now, man. They adopted a bunch of them. And there's one in particular who, in every picture that you look at this kid named Pax, he looks like a kid that could pull out a knife and cut your throat, man. He looks like a mean little mother, man. You know what I mean? And I'm going by looks, yeah. I'm judging him. It's the energy I feel from looking at this kid, looking in his eyes, man. I don't like any part of it. So this is the one they caught that have constant trouble with, constant fights. The kids run off nanny after another, it turns out, because he's of his violent tendencies and the way he is and whatever. Okay. So I was right the way I'm feeling about this kid. So Brad Pitt gets into an argument with this kid at the airport, private airplane. And he got into an argument, yelling back and forth. Didn't hit him, but yelled at him. So now, Angelina Jolie's demanding that the authorities investigate, making this part of her divorce, that because Brad Pitt was high and drunk before he got on the plane. And then now the authorities have kicked it up to a higher level to the FBI. So the FBI released a statement that they're looking to investigate what happened with his child on the tarmac, because that's their territory. And really, it's not. Actually, it's Homeland Security. You know? But I guess they could kick it up to the FBI. But here we have Hillary Clinton, who skates away from felonies, from FBI investigations, who lies, cheats, and steals. And at the same time, you have two actors with this nonsense going on, and then you have the FBI getting involved. You know what I mean? They said he was so drunk, Brad Pitt was so drunk and high, he got into the fuel truck instead of the airplane. He probably got into the fuel truck to get the hell out of there, and get as far away from Angelina Jolie as he could. So I'm going to end the show. So I'm going to leave you with this. Is it the outside world affecting you, or are you the one affecting the outside world? You guys think about that. This is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley Live, September 24th, my birthday too, on United Public Radio Network, UPRN, talkradio.com, 107.7 New Orleans, saying goodnight to you. Be safe.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and you're listening to United Public Radio, UPRN 107.7 FM in New Orleans.
Hi, come check out Christina George's new show, Aliens, UFOs, and Beyond, Thursday night, 8 p.m. See you Thursday, Jeff. Hi, I'm Joe Montaldo, and you're listening to United Public Radio. You want to learn about aliens, extraterrestrials, UFOs, visitations, military abductions? Join Joe Montaldo on Wednesday night, 8 to 10 p.m. for his episodes of UFO Undercover.
You are invited to the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show every Friday night on United Public Radio Network from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time, 12 to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, with your spiritual warrior goddess, Kathy Bilski. Kathy will share all the old truths the Illuminati tries to keep secret. Kathy also gives you the opportunity to join in with planetary healing light work that will help us manifest World Enlightenment 2016. So let's get high and fly into new possibilities. So join Kathy every Friday night on UPRN, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show. A very powerful happening.
Come check out Christina George's new show, Paranormal Connections, only on United Public Radio, Monday, 8 to 10 p.m. See you Monday.
The UPRN family of shows would like to take a moment to thank our loyal listeners for tuning in to UPRNTalkRadio.com along with 107.7 FM New Orleans. Broadcasting on multiple platforms like Live 365, Ustream, and Shoutcast has made the UPRN the longest-running, highly rated, and best source of quality, unique programming that is not afraid of the status quo in alternative media. This station has a solid course of shows and hosts that refuse to get stuck in a rut or be overrun by a groupthink mentality, because station owner, host, and iCar founder Joe Montaldo knows the value of letting his talented stable of hosts grow uninhibited. In this genre, that's an accomplishment which many in alternative radio are striving for but are left consistently wanting. This is all made possible because of you, the listener, that tunes in live every night, who can tell the difference that independent thinking makes. The best way to show our appreciation is to thank you and continue to allow our listeners the ability to download the archives of all the shows free of charge on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud. No monthly fees, no cost to download individual shows, and none of the constant hassling for donations. That's the UPRNradio.com difference. So stick around, there's much more to come with new shows on the way. For now, feel free to join your favorite show live in the Pal Talk chat room, easily accessible off UPRNTalkRadio.com, and share the experience of listening live with other listeners from around the world. So thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the UPRNTalkRadio.com family of listeners.
Hello, you're listening to United Public Radio. I'm Joe Montaldo, host of News on the Flip Side. Check us out every Saturday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time.